You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, June 7th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. Again, this is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on those Minnesota Twins. We have a lot of topics today after a weekend. The Twins won 2 out of 3 this weekend. They split the series with Kansas City after losing the series in Baltimore. It's worth mentioning Cleveland lost 2 games in a row in Baltimore as well, and the series got smashed yesterday by the O's, and that gives the White Sox a couple more games in the standings as well. Twins are 12 games back as we stand today on an off day. Today is an off day for the Twins. I think they need it, and we'll talk about those injuries and developments in those categories as well. But by far, the number one topic of the weekend is certainly Matt Shoemaker and his horrendous start Saturday. Unacceptable start from a veteran, giving up 9 runs, I think it was, in the first inning of that game. Just disgusting. Awful. Really hard to watch. And honestly, J-Happ and Matt Shoemaker have been really hard to watch for much of this year. You don't feel like you have a great chance when they're on the mound. Now, recency bias is involved here because I thought Shoemaker for 2 starts in a row, I thought he had a really nice start at home against Oakland. And then I thought he had a really nice start in his follow-up start against the White Sox. I thought he was really, really good in both those games, both day games. I thought he did a nice job. You know, I didn't think, it was White Sox, then Baltimore. He wasn't great against Oakland. That's what it was. White Sox, then Baltimore. He pitched 12 innings, 2.25 ERA, struck out 5. I thought he did a good job. He was stranding runners. Opponents hit 2.22, the White Sox and Baltimore. And the Twins won the Baltimore game, lost the White Sox game. But I thought he did a good job. And then he follows that up with a start against the Royals at home where he's brutal into the 5th inning. And then Saturday's abysmal outing. But his last 2 starts, both against the Royals, 13 earned runs in 4 2/3 innings. Matt Shoemaker has been really, really bad. Negative 1.3 wins above replacement. I know people have said for weeks they'd like to see him out of the rotation. And Dan Hayes had an article talking about how that's not going to happen right now because the Twins just don't have enough arms. But on the horizon, they're going to have those arms. And one of them might be Bailey Ober, who started yesterday, the prospect, 6'9" prospect, averaging 92 with his fastball. You know, he's a command first guy, Ober, and he's not going to blow anyone away. But it has been, you know, Parker Hagman talked about it yesterday. His extension gives him a couple, I don't want to say like pseudo miles per hour, or like fake miles per hour on his fastball, but just it looks harder than it is because of his extension and how far he gets out toward the plate with his long arms and his you know, frame. But he did a good job yesterday. 4 innings, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts. I think I have to say Bailey Ober, as good as I thought he looked yesterday, was saved by a triple play. Also, that Royals lineup, 5 through 9 in that Royals lineup was a bunch of scrubs. I mean, it was all like AAA guys, Kelvin Gutierrez, Gerard Dyson. Oh, gee. I mean, it was just Cam Gallagher, Nicky Lopez, guys who just can't hit. You know, they rested Soler, they rested Dozier, they rested Michael A. Taylor, who ended up pinch hitting later in the game. But that was by no means a good lineup for Kansas City. I still thought Ober looked good, but it, you know, it's important to say too that his expected numbers are a lot larger than his actual numbers. You know, he still has below average stuff in terms of just his fastball velocity, his slider velocity. He's been getting a lot of whiffs on the slider because he has good command of the pitch. He has good command of his arsenal, so he does a good job getting whiffs on that pitch. But I think we have to pump the brakes a little bit on him just like stepping into the rotation and giving the Twins a chance to win every 5th day. I think You have to see more out of him before you kind of come to that conclusion. I think the same can be said of Nick Gordon, who's hitting 400 in 21 plate appearances. You look at the background numbers, and they're not as rosy. So when Alex Kirilloff came up and was 0 for his first, I think, 15 or whatever, but you looked at the background numbers, the deeper analytic numbers of hard hit rate and exit velocity, and you found that Kirilloff should be doing better than he was based on contact. And as soon as that was pointed out, as soon as we started to realize that, he started mashing and he started hitting the ball over the fence. He started hitting the ball off the wall, like just crushing the ball into the gaps. And he did a great job. And it was predictable in a way. Nick Gordon, predictable regression. He's got a 60% ground ball rate. He's chasing 49% of pitches, which is just brutal. And he's whiffing on 38.5% of pitches. Not sustainable. I mean, that's just not sustainable. You can't hit the ball on the ground 6 out of 10 times. You can't chase 5 out of 10 pitches outside of the zone. You can't swing and miss at 4 out of 10 pitches that you see. You're just not going to have a lot of success. I like Nick Gordon. I think I like the speed. I think, you know, he could be a line drive, nice bottom of the order bat for the Twins, left-handed bat. But right now, the numbers are certainly moving in the other direction for him. On a more positive note, Tyler Duffy, his last 7 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks, 0 earned runs. So Duffy has been a lot better for the Twins. I thought the Twins bullpen yesterday was great. Again, that's not a good lineup. I think there's nowhere to hide, as has been said, against the Yankees and Astros this week. You can't hide against those lineups. I know the Yankees' offense has struggled all year, and we'll talk about that series a little bit more tomorrow in our preview. But Houston's lineup is probably the best in the American League with Yordan Alvarez and Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa. Can't hide against those guys. So you're going to see the bullpen potentially exposed, or come up and pitch well and pitch up to the task. Let's talk more after the break. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that come in 3 flavors, a delicious wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 other delicious flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. Locked On MLB Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONMLB. Lewis Thorpe has been placed on the injured list with a shoulder strain. It's not good. I think this is probably the lowest I've been on Lewis Thorpe in a long time. I was excited about him in spring training. I thought a good Lewis Thorpe would go a long way for the Minnesota Twins this year, just to give them some spot starts, do a good job in those spot starts, but he's throwing 88-89. He just doesn't have the stuff. You know, he just doesn't have it. And now we've seen he's got a shoulder strain. So, you know, hopefully he comes back healthy and can get back up to 90-91, but Lewis Thorpe is not in the plans this year or any future years right now. Matt Cantorino is, and he's one of the Twins' top pitching prospects. He's been their best pitching prospect all year at High A Cedar Rapids. He's been dominating. He's gone to the IL with an elbow strain, which is not good. I mean, I hope that doesn't, you know, mean that he's going to get Tommy John or anything like that. But Cantorino has a very herky-jerky delivery. You know, he kind of slings the ball. It's not hard to see how he might have elbow or shoulder issues. And he's on the injured list. And so is Blaine Enloe with an elbow injury at Cedar Rapids. So Twins are very thin. And that's the point when they say, you know, when Rocco says or the front office says that we can't move Matt Shoemaker out of the rotation because they don't have guys who can come up and that they feel confident. And you don't feel confident in Shoemaker, but it's like, do you want to bring these prospects up? I think even though Shoemaker gave up all those runs, at least he's given you, not just this year, but in recent years, a little bit of evidence that he can get outs. And you bring up prospects, you have no idea, especially when they're not top prospects. It's just, I don't necessarily disagree with that. It's a rock and a hard place for them. There's not a good decision there. And I know fans are going to hate the decision to leave Shoemaker in the rotation, but at this point, that's really the only option. We look at the lineup recently. Nelson Cruz is 5 for his last 13 with 2 doubles and 4 walks. I was pointing out how, you know, Nelson Cruz needed to be better for the Minnesota Twins, especially with runners in scoring position, and he's been a lot better, and he stole a bag, which was awesome to see. He sat out yesterday with knee soreness. They need him for the Yankee series. They need him for the Houston series, so hopefully he's back and his knee's feeling better tomorrow. Josh Donaldson's 11 for his last 31. That's a 355 batting average with four doubles, two home runs. He's walked five times. JD's looked a lot better. He had a really nice series against Kansas City. He had a night where he hit two home runs and a double. He sat the finale yesterday, but had a really nice series overall, I thought, and has looked a lot better at the plate. Since April 14th, 43 games for Jorge Polanco. He's hitting 275 with a 347 on-base percentage and slugging 477 for an 824 OPS, 11 doubles, 6 home runs, a triple, 17 walks, just 29 strikeouts. Here's what I said about Polo before the season. No one expects Jorge Polanco to be first half 2019 Jorge Polanco. But this line, this exact line, I think I laid out something really similar to this. Like 270, 350 on base, 450 slugging percentage is so valuable in today's game. And the reason for that being is there's not a lot of second basemen who can hit. I mean, I think the best hitting second baseman in the league, DJ LeMahieu, is not hitting a lick this year. So I certainly believe that if you have a good offensive player at second base, that goes a long, long way this year. And second base is actually below shortstop in terms of just league-wide offensive prowess. There's so many good shortstops. There aren't a lot of good second basemen right now. And so for Jorge Polanco to be hitting like this is even more valuable than the line may suggest, because he's playing second base, where for a lot of teams that position is not producing. You know, you see in Toronto, Marcus Semien's been great for them. I'll probably gripe for the rest of my life about how they didn't sign Marcus Semien instead of Andrelton Simmons, but Semien will be a free agent this year, so maybe they can go back and re-up with him potentially. But Polo's done a really nice job. He's done a really, really nice job at second base, and he's done a great job at the plate recently. He's leading all second basemen in hard hit rate since May 1st. He's been really, really good. And it's important to point out the positives in a season that's been pretty much all negative and all poor. It's important to point that out about Jorge Polanco, that he's been great. I mentioned Yankees and Astros on tap at home. This is a test for the Twins, and this is kind of a barometer. They went 7-6 on that 13-game stretch, and that's really bad because they started 3-0. And so they went 4-6 in the final 10 games against Baltimore and Kansas City. Just not good. You know, finding ways to lose. Gilberto Celestino runs into Trevor Larnach on Friday night. That was bad. You can go listen to that episode. I think that might have been Thursday night. I think that was Friday night. The losses are kind of running together. It's hard because you look back and you're like, the Twins are 24-35. It's hard to even remember all 35 losses. They just kind of like piled on top of each other over and over and over again. It's hard to wrap your head around that. Twins are going to see Gerrit Cole Wednesday against Randy Domnack. They're going to see Jordan Montgomery tomorrow. Michael Pineda going to start that game. He's coming back. Most important thing for the Twins right now is if they want any chance, if they feel like they have any chance, and I talked about this last week, how I didn't think, you know, that this was going to happen this year for them. And you know, you can hold out a little bit of hope still. It's still really early. If you want to hold out hope, they're not going to do it without getting their key players back. I mean, that's just simply, you know, the answer is they need to get some of these guys back. And if they don't get these guys back and these guys can't stay on the field, they have 0% chance of it happening. It might be 10, 20% with these guys coming back, like just getting back into some semblance of contention at all this summer. But without them, it's 0%. And so let's talk about these injuries after the break. Byron Buxton, Max Kepler, Kenta Maeda, Luis Arraez. We'll talk about all these injuries and, you know, potentially when these guys could be back for the Twins. Don't go anywhere. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well, and these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit, or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code Locked On. It starts with the Twins' best player, and one of the best players in the world when he's on the field. The April Player of the Month, Byron Buxton, has been running at 100% without issues. So it seems like he's doing really, really well. He's going to go to St. Paul soon for a rehab assignment. Is the word, and maybe he'll be back this weekend for the Houston series. I think there's a decent chance of that happening for Buck, which is a great development for the Twins. It's going to end up being, I think, a month that he's been out, but that's great. I mean, they need him back in center field, roaming center field, not just because he's such a great player, but also because their alternatives have been Kyle Garlick and Alberto Celestino, who clearly is not ready to be in the big leagues, and you can't blame him for that. You know, he's barely played above single A. Above high A, so you can't blame Celestino for that. But the alternatives for Buxton are so poor without Kepler and without Cave, defensively and offensively, even if Cave wasn't giving you much before he went down, that to get Buxton back is the biggest return. But Kenta Maeda could be the biggest one too. I mean, if he comes back and he's effective, he could help the Twins go on a run. I mean, they're not going to go on a run without consistent and healthy starting pitching. You could see Kenta coming back if he bounces back and he's a lot better. You got Kenta, you got Jose, you got Pineda. You're going to win a lot of those games. You know, you're going to win a lot of those starts. But then you look at Happ and Shoemaker in the back end, and it's just hard to envision them going on a huge streak because those guys have been so bad. But they can be a little bit better in the lineup, can make up for some of that inefficiency. They could win some of those starts too. But Kenta's very important. Buxton's super important. Those are the two most important players on the team, and they're both out and have been out. And they need him back, and they need him back and playing well. Max Kepler, too, I think an X factor this year, just in terms of he's always going to be underrated defensively. He's a great defender in right field. Only Mookie Betts and Aaron Judge are better in right field, essentially. And at the plate, he was really hitting the ball well before he went down with the hamstring, hitting big home runs. He had a 3-run homer at home against Oakland, the game I was at. They ended up losing that game anyway, but he's been a lot better at the plate, or was before he got hurt. It sounds like he's going to be back this week. The hammy doing better for Max. They need all three of these guys. They need all hands on deck. They need everyone back. And it sounds like these three all could return potentially this week. I would say in order, probably, I think Kepler, because he went on the injured list on May 30th, you know, could be back for the opener of the Houston series on Friday. But I think Friday could be Kepler. This weekend could be Buxton. And then next week, I think, could be Kenta. But that's great for the Twins. They need them all back. Luis Arraez, haven't heard an update on him. You know, it sounded like it was going to be weeks, and that was just last week. So I think there's still a couple weeks out from him. Hopefully by the end of June, Luis Arraez is back and they can start to get to full health. But they always take these steps forward, and then they take steps back in terms of play and in terms of injuries, you know, in terms of just trying to keep guys on the field. They'll get a couple guys back, and then they'll send a couple more guys to the injured list, and it just never ends. Caleb Thielbar going to the IL as well. It feels like it never ends for them. I think when we look back at this year, and I think if it just continues in this way, I think things are going to be different. I don't think it'll be the exact same as it was these first couple months. At least I hope it's not. But when we look back at these first couple months, at least, because we'll do a season in review, month by month, season in review. When we look back at these first couple months, it's not going to be blaming it on the injuries. No one's blaming it on the injuries. Never once have I said, oh my goodness, if they weren't so hurt, they'd be winning all these games. No, because for the most part, you know, earlier in the season, I know they missed guys all the time, but I thought that they just didn't play well. You know, even their guys that I'm saying are super important that are coming back outside of Byron Buxton, Kepler, Maeda, Arise really weren't looking all that hot when they were on the field, and they could have been dealing with some injuries that we didn't know about and playing through them, but they weren't playing well. So it's like you can't blame it all on the injuries. Do I think that their record would be 24-35 if they were completely healthy or only had a couple of those guys go down? No, I think they'd be a lot closer to 500. I think they'd probably have 30 wins. They'd probably be 30-29 or whatever. I think it's cost them games. I don't think it's completely ravaged the season. Like, I don't think you can just flush it and say, oh, they had a lot of injuries, so next year they'll be healthier and everything will be better. No, I think you do have to look inside and look at the offseason additions, look at the process, and find out what really happened in the early going this year. For all the pitching woes and for guys taking steps back, honestly, offensively, a lot of these guys, I know Miguel Sano has been awful. You know, he hit a big home run Saturday, I think it was. But outside of Sano, Kepler, I mentioned, was a lot better. Polanco, been a lot better. Garver, really been a lot better since he went down with the groin injury. They were playing a lot better, and that was kind of the trend at the beginning of the season when they were struggling after the 5-2 start. It was like all these guys, the main core, Kepler, Sano, Polanco, Garver, they all suck now, and the bottom of the lineup is awful, and those guys regressed. Well, 3 out of 4 of them have positively regressed in my mind, certainly at the plate. And so I think when you see Kepler come back, I think he's going to continue to produce. And I think when you see Arise come back, he's going to produce. I think you're going to see these guys be better. So that's no longer the key for me. I think we're going to shift our attention to the pitching and how bad the pitching's been and how bad the bullpen was. Early on, I think it was that full system. I think it was the bullpen starting pitching wasn't giving them a great chance. And then the offense was not tacking on runs. In my opinion, I think you're going to get too much talent, too many guys back and healthy, hopefully, for the offense to struggle as much as they were. I think with Buxton back, with Kepler back, with Arise back eventually, even without Garver, Ryan Jeffers has looked really good in his place. You got Kirilloff and Larnach. Donaldson and Cruz look a lot better recently. I think it's going to be hard for this offense to struggle as much as they did. And so our attention is going to shift to, can the pitching keep up in some way? And I think if you get Maeda back pitching better, and if you have Jose a little bit more consistent, they win a lot of Jose starts, and then you have Pineda staying healthy and pitching consistently as well, I think they're going to win a lot more ball games, and I think they're going to be a better team. They have to be on the pitching side of things, and the bullpen I mentioned looked really good yesterday. Duffy's been a lot better. Rogers is having a good year. They're really relying on Hanso Robles, and he's getting the job done for the most part. Just too many walks. He's got to get the leadoff man, and when he gets the leadoff man, he's as dominant as anyone, honestly, in that entire bullpen. But too often there's a leadoff double, there's a leadoff walk. He just needs to find a way to get the leadoff man when he comes out of the pen. But I think those three are good. You know, I think Rogers, Duffy, and Robles can close some games for you. I think they have the ability to do that. They run into trouble when they get short starts and they got to fill the fifth and sixth inning. But Luke Farrell's looked really good too for the Twins. So I think they're gonna piece it together here, get some guys back and play better ball. Tomorrow we'll have a full series preview on the New York Yankees. Can't wait. And I'll join you then. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. We will talk tomorrow.